God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 24. Paul has been pointing out abuses among the Corinthians in the way that they were treating the Lord's Supper. Now he will point out the true purpose of the sacrament, and as he does this, we will see that he treats the abuses and then moves on to the spiritual riches offered and given to us by Christ. Now, first, the Corinthians were treating the sacrament as their own personal or private meal, as if saying, I brought my own wine, my bread, my meat, my side dishes. But it is the Lord's Supper. That is, it belongs to the Lord and comes from the Lord. It is not ours. He says, my body, my blood. Second, the Corinthians were using the Lord's Supper to satisfy their physical appetites, but the Lord's Supper has a spiritual emphasis. It is the new covenant, that is, for the forgiveness of sins, and it is to be done in remembrance of me, that is, to strengthen faith. And third, the Corinthians were causing divisions over the Lord's Supper, despising the church and shaming the poor. But the Lord's Supper is not only for the individual, it is for the whole church. For you is plural. There should be no favoritism or distinctions on account of wealth. Verses 23 and 24. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul says, For I received from the Lord. Paul did not hear Jesus speak this in person. He was not present at the Lord's Supper, although he was living at the time and was probably in Jerusalem. But he was not part of Christ's fellowship at the time. He was not invited to the meal. But he heard the words from others, either during his several days in Damascus after his conversion, or during his many days, really 3 years, in Arabia after that. The night he was betrayed was Thursday evening of Holy Week, the night that Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, and during which he taught his disciples about heaven, this is in John 14, about the relationship of Christ and God the Father, that's John 14, 8 to 14 in other verses, and about the Holy Spirit, also in that chapter, in chapter 15, chapter 16, and about the resurrection at the end of chapter 16. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Now, this is simply how the head of the family began a meal, with a prayer and a symbolic breaking of the bread. Now, there are churches that make a great show about the breaking of the bread, but this is really paying useless attention to an unimportant detail, probably because they want to deny the real presence of Jesus that is given in the sacrament. He said, This is my body. The words of Christ are simple and clear. He gave his body along with the bread for us to eat. His presence is not only a spiritual presence or a memorial presence, because he does not only say, to remember me, but first he says, this is my body. His presence is a bodily presence with the bread. A philosopher would say, under the bread, but most people today would probably think that they can lift up the wafer to see what's underneath. A theologian would say, in the bread, but most people would think that then they could pick up a microscope to find ancient Jewish DNA along with the bread molecules. These things are not the case. With is a good preposition in our language because it also presents the truth. Along with the bread, we receive, through a miracle, the body of Christ. Everyone who receives the sacrament receives the body of Christ with the bread. Faith is not required for this reception, just as faith is not required to taste the bread or the wine. The substance is there, but not everyone receives the body of Christ to their benefit, which Paul will warn about at the end of the chapter. And for this reason, we do not invite just anyone to the sacrament. More about that later. Jesus says, My body, which is for you. His flesh bore the cost of our sins. What he offered on the cross is what he offers in the sacrament. It was not a mere representation of Christ that died. It was Christ's body that died. This is what he offers to us and gives us in the bread. What he offered his disciples on that night is what he still offers to us and is truly present in the sacrament. For there to be a sacrament, five things must be present to begin with, and five things are received by those who take it. First, the minister, the things that must be present are the minister who consecrates and gives the elements in Christ's place. Second, the recipient who will receive these things in faith. Third, the bread. Fourth, the wine. And fifth, the word of God, that is, the words of institution spoken by Christ, which Paul is presenting here. Now, what is received, that is, received by a believer, are first the bread, and then second, with the bread, the body of Christ. Third, the wine, and fourth, with the wine, the blood of Christ. And fifth, the forgiveness of sins. So what is this sacrament? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under or with the bread and the wine, instituted by Christ for us Christians to eat and to drink. How can eating and drinking accomplish this? Well, it is certainly not the eating and drinking that does such things, but the words given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words are the main thing in this sacrament, along with the eating and drinking. Whoever believes these words has what they plainly say, the forgiveness of sins. Some additional points. First, there are many names for the sacrament. A Lord's Supper comes from verse 20 and shows that the Lord Jesus is the one who instituted the meal, just as Lord's Prayer reminds us that Jesus taught the prayer to the church. Eucharist means thanksgiving and helps us to remember the spirit of the meal. Communion reminds us that we are in communion with the Lord as well as in doctrinal agreement with one another when we participate. The church is a Christian community, a communion of saints, so named because the people hold in common the Holy Communion. Lord's table or Lord's cup remind us that we are being fed by Christ from his own sacrifice, and in this heavenly meal, we are his guests. Table by itself is also sometimes used to mean the meal, as when the pastor might say, the table or table of the Lord has been set, come for all things are now ready. The fellowship of the body and blood of Christ is an older term, and it reminds us that we do not only receive bread and wine with the meal, but the true body and blood of Christ along with them. New Testament is also used for the meal, since it was instituted shortly before his death and imparts to Christians the highest of all, his last will and testament, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. This was also the term used by Jesus in each of the accounts in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and here in 1 Corinthians 11. Finally, the breaking of bread is a term used in Acts, and the Acts passage could possibly be references to ordinary meals, except that in connection with prayers, they are references to something done in worship, and therefore the Lord's Supper. Another point is that Jesus does not make a point about the bread being unleavened. The bread was certainly unleavened on account of the Passover meal, but we can be free to use whatever bread we wish. Gluten-free wafers, often based on rice, are expensive, but many churches offer them today as an alternative for people with food allergies, gluten allergies. And the church could use white bread off the grocery store shelf, but since it would cause some or many believers to question whether this really was a sacrament, unleavened wafers are preferred. Wafers have been used at least since the 9th century, when wafer irons were used to rapidly mass-produce baked breadlets, as they called them. And incidentally, that technology later developed into the idea of producing waffles. The main thing to remember is that when we eat and drink the sacrament, we are also receiving the forgiveness of sins. How intimately our Savior knows us. We might be tempted to say, my head knows this, but my body doesn't feel it. But he does not offer us forgiveness only as a concept or a declaration. He gives it to us to eat and drink, so that we take it into ourselves. I forgive you, he says, and gives it to us to swallow and digest. This gives life. This gives salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.